Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome to... Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome to CB and the Boys. I'm CB, your hostess with the mostest, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Now, all of us are not in the building. You just got me and George Bikerboy Holman, but hopefully the rest of the crew, Mr. Roger Hawkins and Mimi the Fabulous Acosta, will join us later. Otherwise, you got us for 2 hours. Aren't you lucky? Anyway, George, roll that beautiful bean footage.
Welcome to CB and the Boys with Crystal, CB Booker, George, Bucky Boy, Holman, Roger Hawkins, and Mimi Acosta. Coming live and direct from YouTube, Facebook, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and Apple Podcasts. Bringing you hot topics, interviews, live entertainment, and fun every Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And now, prepare to get charged up with a whole lot of fun from CB and the
All right. And welcome everyone to CB and the Boys. What's up, George? Looks like it's just you and me tonight.
Holding it down.
Good times. So how is your work week going, George?
Well, it was going pretty good. All the way up until tonight. My laptop crashed. I'm desperately over here trying to fix it. So, yeah, going through some things.
Everything will work out, as it always does. So what you sipping on tonight? Anything special?
H2O. High-quality H2O. Whoa. That's it. That's all.
Whoa. Tonight is not a game for you.
I got to stay focused. And I got to be up. I got to be up at 5 a.m.,
I feel you. So a lot to talk about. Also, guys, before we get started, let me tell you, you need to go see Jordan Peele's Nope. You will not be sorry. So definitely support Nope. It starts, you can see some showings for tomorrow. Probably, I'd say tomorrow night, starting at about 7. But definitely it opens worldwide on Friday. So definitely support that film. It is, wow. And the twist at the end, wow. So definitely check out Jordan Peele's Nope, for sure. Are you going to go see Nope this weekend, George?
Probably not, considering I don't even know what it is. I ain't had time to look at TV all week.
It's a film by Jordan Peele, need I say more? And it is just amazing. So it stars Kiki Palmer, and I forgot the name of the other guy, Daniel Sralugu or something. Anyway, he was the same one that played in Jordan Peele's first film, Get Out. So definitely want to check it out. It's a really good film, so you definitely want to check it out. Without a doubt. So moving on, there's a lot to talk about, a lot going on in the news. Did you see the report from the police department for the Uvalde shooting? Did you check that out?
Man, who didn't? It was on every freaking channel, from CNN to Public Works Television. It was on every channel. And It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Totally. The more you see about it, the more it just, there's no excuse for what happened. And the thing is, those children could have been saved. And I think that's the part that angers me the most, and I know that angers the parents the most, is that what happened didn't have to happen, not to the extent that it happened. To see them standing around literally and doing nothing is just, it's infuriating. There's no excuse for that. Like, period.
I know. I mean, they're like they were just all dumbfounded. Everybody involved was dumbfounded. And then, and it came out with that video. I mean, they had, I had never heard the account, the head count, the amount of police that were there until that video surfaced. Yeah. And I was like, dude, that's like a small army. That's a platoon. Yeah. Actually, that's bigger than a platoon. And, I mean,
exactly.
That doesn't make
sense.
Need
to sue. It doesn't.
So like,
the parents really need to sue. They need to totally sue.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
Because it just doesn't
The question is, who do you sue? Do you sue the officers or the city?
I would say both. I would say both, seriously.
I don't know how that works.
Because they both are responsible. And the fact that they waited for the Border Patrol, like, why? I don't understand the logic behind what happened that day. None of it makes any sense. Like,
there is none. There is none. You can't tell me anything that makes sense of that mess.
Nothing. It just, none of it makes any sense. It's bad. It's just a sad thing. So, have you noticed that the Supreme Court on their agenda, it's come out that they are about to go after interracial marriages and same-sex marriages?
What the hell?
Yeah. So we've already been stripped of our reproductive rights. Now they are trying to dive into interracial marriage and same-sex marriage. Are we living in the 50s? Are they trying to take us back to the time where there was a white bathroom and a black bathroom? I mean, are they trying to regress back to that time? Because it really feels like it.
I don't even know at this point. I mean, they're just, you know, I don't know if this is a smokescreen to try to keep attention elsewhere while they do some other shit in the background where ain't nobody looking or what, but whatever it is, it's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Yeah. But what's really, 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 really hypocritical is Clarence Thomas, who is in an interracial relationship, an interracial marriage. So how is the Supreme Court going to tackle interracial marriage when one of their justices is in an interracial marriage, as well as Judge Ketanji Brown, who is also in an interracial marriage?
It'll be interesting to see him pull it off.
Yeah. So both of the justices, the black justices, are in an interracial marriage. They're both married to white people. So I'm curious how that one's going to go, because
well, that's two no votes.
yeah. I'm like, that just doesn't make any sense. Why can't they leave well enough alone is my question. Because it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
The only way
to
fix this, well, what people need to realize is that the only way that this is going to be fixed is to vote. You have to vote. No matter how much they try to,
You could shoot them all. You could shoot them all.
Yes, we don't want to encourage violence. What we need to do is vote. We need to vote.
See, here's the problem. All these people running up in the buildings, running up in all these places, running up in the mall, running up in the school, running up in all these public places, killing people. They need to be running up in the Supreme Court. Up in the Congress, you know,
they already did that. It happened January 6th. That already happened.
They didn't shoot nobody, though.
Yeah, they did. Police officers got killed, maimed, and people who were a part of the protest also.
They're killing the wrong people.
Well,
we need to have a
meeting.
See, they're killing the wrong people.
That may be, but the fact that it happened is terrifying because it's something that didn't have to happen. It shouldn't have happened. And it was spurred on by the former president, which is even worse. And the more that comes out with the hearings that we've been hearing, it doesn't look good for him. It really doesn't. And I noticed quite a few people have turned away from him, as they should. They should have done that before all this madness started, you know, to purport a lie.
It's just another reality show for him.
Yeah, but to purport
a
lie.
It's another reality show for him.
Yeah, but his reality show doesn't just impact him. It impacts all of us. And that's not fair. I didn't sign up for that. None of us did. Unless, well, those who voted for him signed up for it. But I sure in the hell didn't sign up for it. And it's not fair. And what people need to do is get off their asses and vote. If you have a complaint, if there's something you don't like of how things are going, then you have a chance to change that by voting. No matter how much they discourage us and tell us, you know, our votes don't count, they're counting on people to believe that. Thing is, you can't believe that. You have to vote. Voting, I can't stress that enough. Just vote. You know, right now you're not voting for Biden. You're not voting for president. Right now you're voting for the lawmakers who make the decisions. And you don't want the ones that have evil intent and maliciousness in their heart to stay in power. If so, then America will continue to be fucked, and that is not right. And we will continue to regress back to the 50s and the 40s. Next thing you know, we'll see a white water fountain and white bathrooms and separate stuff. I mean, it'll be segregation all over again. It feels like that's what it's headed towards, not to mention a possible civil war, literally. It makes no sense for us to be going through this mess. It just doesn't. And how people can turn their backs or put their head in the sand and hope that it changes. Well, change begins with you. And it begins with you walking into that voting booth and voting. You've got to vote. You have to. Because they don't care. These legislatures and lawmakers have shown us they do not care. And it doesn't matter what party you're a part of. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, you're still an American. And these laws affect you just like they affect all of us.
Yep.
And it's just
nothing's going to change until this nation implodes. That's what's going to happen. It's going to implode.
Well, yeah. Or regress back to the 40s. Because it seems like we're definitely headed that way. I could see segregation coming back into play. And we definitely don't want to go back to that. Too many people fought too hard for these civil rights, these civil liberties that we are now entitled to.
We won't get back to segregation. It'll be a full-on civil war before that happens.
Your mouth to God's ear. We'll see. We will see.
I'm just telling you. You think about it. You just think about that.
I do think about that. Every day I think about that.
You know, whites-only restaurants, whites-only bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You're not finna get that.
Even the
rich and
elite
are finding out that
they
are still
African Americans. African Americans, even the richest person is finding out they're still an African American. They're still, even You could be the richest person. Even Oprah has experienced racism, and she's Oprah. So come on now.
Her career started that way. I said her career started that way.
Yes, she's experienced racism, but she's also experienced racism as the status that she's at now. She's also still experienced racism. She had experienced racism on her own show. Her guest turned out to be racist, and she went and she took that outfit off, and she did the rest of her show in a row. Yes, she did. So you can be the richest person and still be reminded that you are still a person of color, and we're still not respected or even valued. And there's a problem with that because we have contributed too much to this civilization, too much to America to not be valued. And then what happens sometimes is that we do things and contribute things and then someone else takes the credit. Where's the justice in that? There is none. Period.
Right.
So with that, let's take a pause for the cause and switch to a music break. So first up.
Beans.
Huh?
I said gold beans.
Yeah. So first up, we have Tuba Hawk and I Get Around.
Oh, yeah. I get around. Still clown with the underground when we come around. Stronger than ever. Back to get wrecked. All respect to those who break their necks to keep their hopes in check. Cause no big sweater, brother, majorly. And I don't know why your girl keeps paging me. She tell me that she needs me. Drive when she leaves me. And every time she sees me, she squeeze me. Ladies, take it easy. Hate to sound sleazy, but tease me. I don't want it if it's that easy. Hey, yo, bust it. Baby, got a problem saying bye-bye. Just another habit of a fly guy. Your ass why don't matter. My pockets got fatter. Now everybody's looking for the ladder. And ain't no need in being greedy. If you want to see me, son, keep a number, baby, when you need it. And I'll be there in a jiffy. Don't be picky, just be happy with this. But when you learn, you can't time it down, baby doll. Check it out. I get around. What you mean you don't know? Check it out. I get around. The underground just don't stop for hoes. I get around. Still down with the underground. I get around. Hey, yo, son, let them hoes know.
Now you can tell from my everyday fit, I ain't rich, so she can desist with them tricks. I'm just another black man caught up in the mix, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. Just cause I'm a freak don't mean that we can hit the sheets. Baby, I can see that you don't recognize me. I'm Shock G, the one who put the satin on your panties. Never knew a hooker that can share me. I get
what's up, love? How you doing?
All right.
Well, I've been hanging, singing, trying to do my thing. Oh, you heard that I was banging your homegirl you went to school with. That's cool, but did she tell you about her sister and your cousin thought I wasn't? See, we kids was made for Michelin, but it's a Monday, my day, so just let me hit it, go. And don't mistake my name for a clown. We should keep it on the down low, long as you know that I get around.
Round and round, round and round, round and round, don't stop for hoes. I get around. I love the way she licks her lips. See me jockin', put a little twist in her hips. Cause I'm watching. Conversations on the phone to the break of dawn. Now we all alone while the lights on. Turn them off, time to set it off. Get you wet and soft, something's on your mind. Let it off. You don't know me, you just met me. You won't let me. Well, if I couldn't have me, why you sweating? It's a lot of real cheese doing time. Cause if you be with the super dope to ride, you pick the wrong guy, baby. If you're too fly, you need to hit the door. Search for a new guy. I only got one night in town, break out of beat.
niggas, all of you down, I get around.
Just have sex.
Sometimes.
Oh.
something beautiful happens in this world. You don't know how to express yourself, so you just gotta sing.
Haven't played that one in a while. Did you enjoy that one, George?
Yep, yep. I did.
Awesome, awesome. One thing I wanted to talk to everybody about, you know, since part of our show is motivating everyone, I wanted to talk about things that you can do to motivate yourself. Number one, if you can't look in the mirror and name at least five things about yourself that you love, then there is a problem. You have to love yourself. You have to embrace yourself, all of your flaws. I came to a realization today, and I decided to make some changes in my life. And when you make that decision, and when it's your decision, and that's someone that's spurring you on or someone cheering you on, like saying, you know what, you really need to make some changes. But when it comes from you, when you make that realization, when you have that aha moment, then it means more to you. And more than likely, you will enact those changes and implement the changes that you want to implement in your life. Now, one of the changes that I wanted to make in my life, and you guys will see in the coming week my progress and how well it's doing, but everyone is doing the battle of the bulge. And by that I mean everyone is on this weight loss kick. Some people are wanting to lose weight because they want to look good for their loved one. They want, you know, some women want to look good for their partner and vice versa. And some people are wanting to lose weight, like me, for me. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm not trying to catch anyone. But I want to lose weight for me. And that's important when you have that aha moment in your life and you realize, oh, wow, this change needs to be made. This I got to do it because it comes from you. It's something that you realize and it's something that you want to do. And the thing is, guys, you can do and be anything that you want in this world as long as you work hard and you believe in yourself. If you don't believe you can do something, then how is someone else going to believe in you if you don't believe in you? So for me, I am implementing these changes and doing these subtle things to just get fit. My aha moment was when I was walking up a flight of stairs and I felt like I was going to die. That's never a good thing. And at my age, you know, and you know you're getting up in age when you're starting to use phrases like at my age or I used to could back in the day. I know you got so
well, I remember when.
Right. Exactly. And so when we're using those phrases, we know that we're not the young ones in the room anymore, you know? And sometimes that's a tough, hard realization to come to. Like you go to a club and you realize you're not the cute chick in the club anymore. You're the old chick in the club trying to recapture their youth, trying to recapture something that they've lost. Everyone wants is on this quest for you. And we've seen so many botched, and I say botched, plastic surgeries, enhancements, body enhancements. You know, there's so many botched ones. And you look at some of these people that have had all this work done, and you're like, what the hell? Like, what are you now? Some of them don't even look human anymore, where your lips are bigger than your face. That makes no sense to me. Or your eyelashes are as long as your nails. That makes no sense to me. What do you think about these new trends, George?
Well, see, if I see you and you are typically that one that ain't got no booty, and you show up next week with a booty like J-Lo, Houston, we got a problem. First of all, you bought it. Because
right.
It just magically showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, ain't nobody interested because they know it's silicone.
Mm-hmm. Or either they even have this thing called booty pop where you put it in your pants and it's a fake
right.
ass and it fits in your pants and no one knows that you have on booty pop unless you're about to get intimate with somebody. And then, of course, they'll see you got on booty pop.
No. You can tell. Trust me. You can tell. It's obvious. They didn't do a very good job with that project. No, they didn't. You can tell. Trust me. You can tell.
So you can tell if it's booty pop.
Yep.
So
because it's not proportionally correct.
Maybe I'm gonna have to purchase a booty pop, and we'll do kind of an experiment to see if people can tell if you're wearing booty pop or if you're not wearing booty pop. I'm going to buy one, take a picture of my rear, and then take a picture of how somebody else's rear.
Crystal. Huh? You're my cousin. I'm not looking at your booty.
No, I'm talking about... You won't know that it's me, though. All you'll do is see a rear end with booty pop and then a rear end without booty pop. But with someone
I don't
that
know,
has
because
like
you're
a
telling me.
Butt.
You've already told me, so I'll know.
Well, I did the experiment when you least expect it. But really, I'm sure there's a picture out there with somebody that has booty pop. And then a picture, of course, you know, there's a picture of people's derrieres that don't have booty pop. So I was just curious, like, what's the difference? Like, you said you could tell. So I want to know, how can you tell when it's supposed to be where you can't tell? So what makes it so obvious?
Disproportion. And sometimes it sometimes it's crooked.
I can see that. I can see that because it's not attached to anything. You literally just shove it in your pants. You don't strap it on, or you just literally shove it in your pants.
Right.
And because it's like a rubbery material, it's supposed to, like, you know, fit easily, and it's supposed to be kind of squishy. So when people squeeze it, they don't know that it's not a real butt. But I'm sure they know, I would think.
I mean, let's look at this. Let's look at this. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, it makes you wonder. Is there hope for us flat-butted girls? Should we buy booty pop? Oh, gosh, no. That's booty pop.
Yeah.
That doesn't even look normal. You could, like, sit a drink on that thing.
Right.
It's like a little mini table.
It's disproportioned.
Totally.
And no.
Yeah, that's a no from me. Mm-mm. That doesn't even look normal. It looks like a cartoon character or something.
Right, exactly.
Mm-mm. That's not even cute. Can you imagine wearing a dress over that? And that's supposed to be your butt?
Negative.
Totally.
Negative.
I concur. That's horrible. That doesn't even look normal. It looks like a little mini table. You could literally sit a drink on that thing.
Right.
That's not cute. Oh, my God. That's hideous. Mm-mm. I can't even see it. Nope. No, sir. So why is it that you think people are on this quest to just change everything? Like, when you look in the mirror, and it's so crazy because it happens every day. You look in the mirror, there's something you want to change, so you just go buy a new one. Of course, you have to have it surgically done, but... You know, say, for example, you look in the mirror, you don't like your nose, so you go and have a nose drop. You don't like your cheeks, so you get cheek implants. You don't like your lips, so you get Botox and blow up your lips or whatever your lip plumpers are. And your lips can be as big as your face. That's not cute. That's not cute at all. So why do you think that people have this need to go after perfection instead of accepting the fact that we're all not perfect? Nobody's perfect. Yes, you know.
I have no idea.
Everyone is on this quest for perfection, and it just does not exist. It does not exist. You have to be happy in your own skin and with what you've been given. And work with what you got. And there's so many people that just have such low self-esteem or so much insecurity that they can't do it. You know, they can't do it. And that's a problem. That is a real problem. So with this booty pop stuff, it's totally affordable. What if Nicole came home and she bought a booty pop? Would you be able to know the difference?
What kind of question is that? Are you serious right now? I'll be like, if you don't take that shit off. You do that, I'm gonna do is kick it as hard as I can.
Her butt. It's just so thin. It's so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so flat.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brother deny. And when a girl walks with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up, because you notice that butt was stuck. Even the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I wanna get hooked up and take your picture. My whole boy tried to warn me, but that's what you got me.
He's so horny.
It's all his fault.
It is.
He did it.
It is.
He did it. So Mix-a-Lot did it. It's all his fault.
He did it. He did do it. So would you say that it's important for a woman to have a butt? Would you say that that's one thing that men look for, is a woman with a butt?
Well, here's the thing. Different men like different degrees.
There's some men that are obsessed with feet.
Right. It's just like with anything else. It's a, to each his own thing, you know. And every man is a different degree of how much of it they like or how little of it they like.
So if we took a poll, what would you say the statistics would be for how many men like butts, in your opinion?
I don't know, probably 50-50.
50-50?
Yep. We're going to have to take a big butts poll.
I'm sure there already is one, and I'm looking that up right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
I need some results.
Do men really prefer big butts? Science has the answer.
That's just health.com. same one I was looking at.
Well, lead researcher Dr. David Lewis says it's believed that our male ancestors developed a sexual attraction to women with big butts because it increased their chances of having offspring, which would live long enough to pass on their DNA. It's not just ancient men who show a preference for women with this build, however. Most men show that preference. It was over 20 years ago, 22 to be precise, when Sir Mix-a-Lot released Baby Got Back, a love letter to bootylicious women everywhere. It was over 20 years ago, but men's obsession with shapely butts has remained strong ever since. And Kim Kardashian has the Instagram hits to prove it. In fact, you might say that rears have replaced breasts as our most scrutinized body parts. But here's some interesting news. Research from the University of Texas at Austin found that what men are really drawn to isn't so much the size of the derriere, but the curve, or more specifically,
the curvature,
spinal curvature that offers the illusion of a shapely butt.
It's called vertebral vertebral wedging.
In the study, approximately 100 men between the ages of 17 to 34 were asked to rate the attractiveness of images of a woman's silhouette as she stood sideways. Each image had been altered so the lower spine curved out at different angles, causing the women's butt to protrude in varying extremes. What researchers found, overwhelmingly, men preferred the upper bendy images that showed the lower spine curved at a 45-degree angle from back to buttocks. Pretty interesting, but do things change when butt size comes into play? Well, to find out, the researchers asked 200 men to look at images of women with different butt sizes and spinal curves. Turns out the men were turned on by women whose spinal curvature was closest to 45 degrees, regardless of the size of their rear. This enabled them to conclusively show that men prefer women who exhibit specific angles of spinal curvature over buttock mass, said the study's co-author, Eric Russell. But before those of you with pancake black cabooses get all cocky, or shall we say cheeky, check this out. The reason guys are giving those pushed out tushies all that love, study authors surmise, has more to do with prehistoric influences than standards of beauty. Since pregnancy pitches the center of gravity forward, explains lead author David Lewis, this spinal structure would have enabled pregnant women to balance their weight over the hips. These women would have been more effective at foraging during pregnancy and less likely to suffer spinal injuries. In turn, men who preferred these women would have had mates who were better able to provide for fetus and offspring, and who would have been able to carry out multiple pregnancies without injury. The bottom line, the right curve made it easier for women to not only carry babies, but to get off their bottoms and hunt down grub to feed the offspring their men wanted, a desire that apparently has been passed down to big galoots today, observed David Buss, a University of Texas psychology professor and co-author of the study. This adds to a growing body of evidence that beauty is not entirely arbitrary or in the eyes of the beholder, as many in mainstream social science believe, but rather has a coherent adaptive logic, which is basically a diplomatic way of saying chauvinism that dates all the way back to Neanderthal times. Big butts, small butts, whatever. When do we get to weigh in with some scientific methodology of our own? Line them up, boys. So basically, according to the scientists, as I said.
You know what's funny is that article, where was you reading that from?
This was from health.com.
Okay, that was the same one I was on at first. So I went to another one, and I was reading an article along with you from cosmetologist.com. Mm-hmm. And it was almost verbally the same. With their article, they had the people that did the study was Belkent University in Turkey, and they did the study with over 300 men, and mm-hmm. came out with the same results. What's funny is at the end of the article it says the next time you tell a guy, next time a guy tells you he's an ass man, you can go ahead and tell him he's actually a spine man. I know. Maybe you got vertebrae. It just doesn't sound the same. It doesn't have the same ring to it.
That's hilarious.
Hey, baby, you got vertebrae.
Baby got vertebrae. Yeah, it doesn't have the same sound. I like curved vertebrae and I can't land. Yeah, nah, it doesn't have the same ring to it. I wonder what he would have rhymed that with. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Wow. Curved vertebrae.
The curves. Baby got curves.
There you go. Baby got curves. And I'm trying to get mine back. Because it's like, you know, when you have a kid, your body stretches like a rubber band. And sometimes I'm like, then snap back. Sometimes. They don't snap back.
Some people have it, some people don't.
Some don't. But the thing is, what's important, and you know, and everybody is trying to lose weight without having to exercise. But what they don't realize is when you lose weight, you also are losing weight under your skin, and your skin is going to hang like an elephant's butt. It's going to get saggy. But if you exercise, you can be prepared because you will have started toning your body and toning your skin and your muscles.
Right.
So once the weight starts coming off, then it's not going, you won't look like an elephant's butt. Because once you get to that point,
you lose
does that bounce again.
Now doing that, you lose half the mass and the other half turns into muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a double benefit.
Yeah. And that's why people are having skin surgery and getting their skin cut off, which to me sounds like it would be excruciating pain. Like, I can't even fathom.
No.
I've watched shows like My 600-Pound Life, and one thing that all of these candidates have, all of these patients have in common, is that something traumatic happened to them, either in their childhood or even in their adult life, that traumatized them so much that they turn to food for comfort. And that definitely, you know, it's a problem. You have to change your mindset because it's mind over matter. So you have to change your mindset towards food. You have to.
Yeah, you know, it's got, you know, that's got a lot to do with what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, like self-esteem and strength. You know,
mm-hmm.
being able to deal with tough situations, how you handle those things. Because, you know, those people that haven't handled them. There you have it.
Yeah.
You have a traumatic situation, and then you gain 600 pounds. What the hell?
Mm-hmm. But it's like, when you turn to food, you're just living to eat, literally. And you're turning to food to solve your problems because food doesn't judge you. Food doesn't tell you no. Food doesn't tell you you can't. Food doesn't tell you you're no good. Food doesn't tell you you don't love yourself. Food doesn't tell you any of those things. Food gives you a sense of comfort because you're eating food usually that you like. I haven't heard anyone crying over a carrot, but I have seen them many times cry over eating a whole pizza by themselves or eating a whole pan of lasagna by themselves. Or eating a whole bucket of chicken by themselves. I've seen them cry many a times on the show because they've done that. Or gone to a drive-thru and bought way too much food. and then they sit in the car and devour that food all by themselves. And then after all of that is done, their next thing is like, I don't know why I do it to myself. I don't know what's the problem. I know I don't need it. I shouldn't do it, but I can't help myself. And the thing is, what people lose sight of is that food, when it gets to that state, when it gets to that status, is an addiction. Just like anything, you can be addicted to drugs, alcohol. You can also be addicted to food.
They need to just give them crack. Just smoke crack. Smoke some crack.
Funny story. I thought that too. I was in Kansas City, and it was when I still lived in KC, and I thought, okay, I'll just turn into a little crackhead temporarily just to lose weight. Well, that idea went out the window when I saw a fat crackhead. So, it totally
they had just started. They weren't professionals yet. That's what that was.
When I saw that fat crackhead, I was just like, well, damn. Just took the wind out of my sails. I was like, well, damn.
That's hilarious.
So instead, I just would walk around KCK Community College every evening. And that track is like the size of a football field. So walking around it four times is like a mile or two.
Newsflash, literally all tracks are the size of a football field.
Well, there you go.
It's a mathematical thing.
Well, the one I went to, because it was closest to me, and I would walk around their track, and it was just, you know, you feel good once you have taken that first step. And the thing is, the most important thing to do is to take the first step. You know, it might not be perfect. You might not get it right the first time. You might be tired the first time, but the important thing is just to start. Take the first step. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door, you know, and stay on track. Keep doing that, and soon you'll be walking around the track. Problem solved. You'll be getting fit and losing weight at the same time. And then also portions, watching your portions. Instead of, you know, having two or three helpings of food.
That's the key. The key is one thing that I'm a firm believer of is eating till you're full and not till you're stuffed.
Right.
See, a lot of people think eating till you're full means till you can't eat anymore. And it doesn't.
Right.
It means eating till your body is physically satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Some people don't get that memo.
So, but if you can control that,
mm-hmm.
then you won over half the battle out the gate. Because that's the biggest thing, is that people eat till gluttony. I mean, literally.
They do.
If two slices of pizza fills you up, but you eat the whole thing,
if two pieces
fill you up, but you're eating the whole thing, yeah, you're doing too much.
Yeah, but one piece literally should be sufficient. The thing is, when people go on diet,
I don't know about that.
When you go on a diet, the first thing you tell yourself is what you can't have. Because, you know, a diet means, you know, you're going to be shutting out some foods as opposed to other foods or having this instead of that. But really, when you go on a diet, it's mind over matter. Instead of living to eat and living to eat. You eat to live. So having one helping of food is better than having two or three. Having one or two slices of pizza is better than having three or four. And then having one piece of pie is better than eating the whole damn pie, wouldn't you say?
Yep.
And then soon your body will get used to those portions. It took me about 2 weeks for my body to get used to those portions, the smaller portions. And the thing is, I didn't deprive myself of anything, and that's where so many people fall off of that diet roller coaster, is that they deprive themselves of foods that they love, when you don't have to do that.
Yeah, you don't have to. Just don't gorge yourself in it.
Exactly, you know? And that's
the whole thing with all these health diets and everything are not just necessarily designed for you to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
But they're designed to put the proper nutrition in your body,
mm-hmm.
to be healthier in that aspect. It's not so much as necessarily the weight. And
right.
So if you eat 10 pounds of food a day and you change your diet and say, I'm going to go get the Jenny Craig diet or whatever and
mm-hmm.
buy all these diet meals and all this stuff and all this great food that's good for you, and you still eat 10 mm-hmm. pounds a day, you ain't doing
yeah.
shit. You're not doing nothing for your weight. All you're doing is flushing the toxins out of your body, but you ain't doing nothing for your weight.
No.
Because you can't change your food and eat the same much.
You can't. And the thing is, too, you have to incorporate water into your routine as well. You have to put water in your diet. You'll be amazed how quickly the pounds just fall off just by adding water to your diet. It's so important.
Amazed what the amount of water, the proper amount of water daily does for you all around in health.
Mm-hmm.
All right, look, I'm diabetic. My blood sugar stays closer to its normal level the more I drink water.
What's interesting?
Google it and you'll find out water actually cleanses extra sugar out of your cells, out of your blood cells.
That makes sense. I mean, water is our life's blood. It's our life fuel. People cannot live without water. And some people think, oh, well, I drank a drink today. I had a Sprite or I had a ginger ale or I had a Coke. But if you don't drink water, it's
too
not
old.
The same. Mm-mm, it's not the same.
That's the Even
if
you
drink
old.
Kool-Aid. Yeah, you have to. You have
so,
to.
So think of it like this. Your body is 90% water.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lose any of that, you have to replace it. And you lose it by exercising, just the daily routines, being in the sun, getting dehydrated. All kinds of things cause you to lose water.
Right.
So for your body to function and maintain, you have to replace that water. So if you're just drinking liquids and you ain't drinking no water, you're just doing damage.
Big damage. Big, big damage. And some feel, you know, if they drink Kool-Aid, that takes the place of water.
That's why I got this high-quality H2O.
Yeah, but it's like just because it has water in it doesn't mean that you're drinking water. It has to be pure water.
That part.
And people say, oh, if we drink sparkling water, it has taste to it. That's all well and good, but you still need water. Pure
water. If you got to have flavor, get some vitamin water. Or get those little packages of stuff you just put in your water.
Mm-hmm.
But you still need the water.
They'll have to. And you'll be amazed how quickly the pounds fall off when you implement water in your diet. It'll blow your mind how quickly the weight comes off. But you always, there is no weight loss without exercise. You have to exercise. You have to put some type of a exercise routine or regimen in, even if you just go for a walk every evening or in the morning before work. You have to put some type of physical activity in your routine, because that is going to help, you know, move along your weight loss. But it also will tone your muscles and your body, and you'll just feel better. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, they have to have that. So after this next music break, we will pause for the cause and have a word from our sponsors. But first, since we're talking about having an exercise routine and putting some pep in your step, I can't think of any song that represents that more than this next song I'm about to play, which is Lizzo's Feeling Good As Hell. For me, I mean, it's just, not only is it a cool song, but it really makes you move and groove and all that. So here's Lizzo and Feeling Good As Hell.
I do my hair, toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling? Hair, toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling?
Everybody is feeling good as hell. All right. And it looks like we have
Big Roger Raj.
Roger Hoskins in the building. What's up, Raj?
You know, I'm just stalking and from the background, sneaking in. I'm going to jump over y'all here in a minute. Just wanted to let y'all know I'm here.
That's my advice.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm just going to lurk in the back, eat my popcorn for a minute. Y'all see my face.
Yeah, we were just talking about fitness and exercise and stuff, so that's right up your alley.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of it. You were actually pretty on point, so congrats and good job on that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I do try.
That's what's up. I'm going to get checked in, but like I said, you know, we got our subject matter going on, Ergin and Jerkin, so I'll be with y'all most Ricky Ticky, and I'm going to have a drink in my hand because I need it.
All right. In the meantime, while you're getting that did, we can ready to take a pause for the calls.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Motivation, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. One love.
All right.
Hey, everybody. It's me, CD. Join us every Wednesday for your midweek motivator, offering you conversation, motivation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So tune in. Let's talk. Join us as we shake things up and toss things down. CB on the board. Join us for your midweek motivation. See ya. All right.
Caught you by surprise with that extra one, huh?
Yeah, you did. That was a nice one. I like that one. I'm going to have to add words and wins to that one. Inside joke, guys. So, George.
Oh, you were thinking about that?
Yeah. I have a question for you, George.
What that is.
You ready? All right.
Nope, but go ahead.
Why are there no piano tuners in the ocean?
I don't know. Tell me.
Because you can tune a piano, but you cannot tune a fish.
But you can't tune a fish. Roger, hurry up. Hurry up, man. Hurry up.
I'm so sorry. You know that was good.
And I've heard that a thousand times. I didn't even think about it.
Because it's
great,
so good.
Great Google movie.
It was good.
Only you. Only you. Yes. Crystal, only you.
Yes. So true. Only me and me alone can thrill everyone like I do. I am y'all's dream come true, the one and only me.
In that case, how do you get a baby astronaut to sleep?
Ah, don't know. How do you get a baby astronaut?
You rock it.
I walked right into that one. Wow. All right. On that note, let's all live the champagne life. Here is Neo.
Yes. It was a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful night. Break out the champagne. Everybody get a glass. Let's start it off sexy. What do you say? And all the ladies say. And all the ladies say. I think I like that. And all the ladies say. Welcome to the champagne life, where trouble is a bubble in the champagne glass. Dreams and reality are one and the same. And we gonna do it like this.
Got an addiction for life and it's baby. Like every day is my birthday, know when I'm getting. Can reserve the time, not that's where I'm sitting. Me and my friends in some sickness and dependence. And my attitude so chill and so crazy. And my designer suit that makes sense.
Champagne life, sexier than a regular clap. Oh, it's a party, reserved for top notch. Let's bring it back.
Oh, hey. It's all about the back on
Woo!
closer I get to you. The more you make me see, by giving me all you've got.
Tell me more.
Ooh, yeah. Your love has captured me.
That was Closer I Get to You by Luther Vandross featuring Beyonce. Cannot go wrong with that song, in my opinion. I think, I don't know, that's Michelle. What can I say? But without further ado, our counselor Michelle did weigh in on our topic tonight. So without further ado, here is Counselor Michelle.
Hi,
Hi, everyone. Michelle Bracco, counselor here. And today's topic is, how would you feel if you learned that your partner had experimented with the same sex just once? Would you feel like it's a deal breaker? Well, let's look at all aspects of this. In society, as it stands, most of the time, if a man hears about two women experimenting together, it's not such a bad thing. But if a woman hears that a man experimented with another man, it's a little bit more kind of not as accepted, or it makes people cringe. And in today's society, where everyone is more accepting of the LGBT community, it's kind of a gray area. Everyone knows that when you're young, you tend to experiment. Even in my generation, Generation X, people experimented. College was a big time when people would experiment. When you're an adolescent, you are becoming an adult, and you are trying to discover who you are, both physically, emotionally, and sexually. And with this concept, this is where the area of experimentation comes in, and people want to know where they're happiest at. It's a connection, and it's a opportunity to become oneself and the person that they're going to become as an adult. Now, you also have to ask the question, if the person experimented, how long ago was it? How significant was it? And is it something that you fear is going to happen again? It's something that, honestly, if you found this out, it's a conversation that you need to have with your partner. It may be uncomfortable for both sides because, one, your partner is sitting there divulging information about something that they may or may not be proud of, or that they may or may not be comfortable with. And it's going to be uncomfortable for the person talking about it because, or the person that's receiving the information, because this is your partner. And it may feel as if you feel betrayed, like you didn't know the person after all this time. You find out something that may or may not be significant to you or might matter to you. When it comes to a deal breaker, what exactly is meant by that? Is it meant that you cut that person off completely? Does it mean that you just end an intimate relationship with them? At the end of the day, people are always constantly discovering who they are. And especially if this is something that happened when your partner was younger, it's not necessarily something, in my opinion, that should be held against somebody. People experiment with all kinds of things, and sexuality is one of them. Now, there are cultures, there's religions, there's morals that people hold tight to. And this is a question of individuality. If you feel that your partner experimenting with the same sex at any time is uncomfortable for you, you have the right to say, I don't feel comfortable with this. But be honest, this is a conversation that can be touchy, but communication is the key. You have to be honest. You have to make your partner feel comfortable in the way that ask them the questions, but don't make them feel as if they're on trial or they were wrong for the experimentation. And at the end of the day, you just have to be honest with each other. And it's okay if you don't feel comfortable. It's okay if you do feel comfortable. And for the person who experimented, it's okay that you did experiment, because that's part of human nature. That's part of growing up. And even if it was done as an adult, what are the reasons behind that? There's a lot of questions that are come behind something like that. And in this counselor's opinion, as I said, you just need to communicate with each other and decide what type of deal breaker it is. Is it the kind that you can't speak to the person anymore? Or is it just that you're going to end the intimate relationship? But understand, everybody is human. Everybody experiments in one way, shape, or form. And people should be allowed to live. And whatever you choose to be comfortable within you is fine. Just be sure to take in consideration that other people have that same right. And don't make somebody feel bad or insignificant or wronged for being who they are. Well, that's it for me. Thank you to CB and the boys.
All right. And look who has entered the building. So Roger Hawkins, what's up, Raj? Welcome in.
Raj.
Well, I'm trying to tell you what your boy been through, but I'm here. Anyway, sometimes word commands, I feel like I've been in the bush, man. It's been rough on your boy.
Are you on vacation?
You look like you've been in the bush.
I've been living up to my Hispanic forename. I've been out there, man. Anyway, it's all good, though. I told you guys I was going to try to get here, and here I am. Been on the road, been humping, been up early, working in the hot sun, all kind of crap we don't like. And in honor of that, I'm gonna go super country on y'all. I'm drinking moonshine and fruit tonight. It's like that for your boy. It's like that. So anyway.
Salute to you.
Yeah, it's about to be like that. Good stuff.
Wow.
Anyway. But I got here just in time, clearly. Clearly, we on subject matter. I got here just in time. So, boom.
You did. So since this was your question posed to everyone, take it away, Raj.
All right. Well, I thought that was interesting, what Michelle said. And believe it or not, I do tend to agree when she said, you know what, people do experiment, not all, or at least not all admit to it. But I feel like if you would actually honestly ask, people would probably be surprised at how many people may have at some point. And this is what I mean by that. Sigmund Freud, and if you don't know who Sigmund Freud is, people, just look him up. You know, doctor, scientist from, 50s and 60s, did a lot of experiments, some questionable, but he definitely had a lot of research and study on sexuality. He was way before Dr. Ruth. Dr. Ruth probably got a lot of her ideology from Sigmund Freud. That being said, he mentioned that, let's just say men in particular, he said upwards of 75%+ of men have had some type of homoerotic experience. Now, that doesn't mean intercourse. It could be something as simple as, technically, if you shower in the same, locker room as your teammates, pee standing next to somebody, if you're a little boy and you guys sword fighter, hey, how come you're lighter than I am or darker than I am or whatever? These technically can be considered a homoerotic experience. Now, I think, it's reaching, it's grasping at straws, but if you want to look at it that way, that's what it's considered. Now, what we're talking about today, of course, we know what we're talking about. We're talking about full-on sexual experience. That number is going to be drastically different, in my opinion. If you're asking me, I think what Michelle said was pretty accurate in that most guys, if we find out our woman experimented, the only thing we would be thinking is, do you still have her number? You think she'd like me? Because that's kind of the way the world is. It's a double standard that women get to enjoy. You could legitimately be like, oh, my God, honey, I think she's fine. I want us to take her home. And the only thing we're going to say is, okay, what do you think she drinks? Because, again, that's things that fantasies are made of. But I also feel like the reason it doesn't work in reverse is because, okay, as men, we are supposed to be technically the dominant. As men, we are not supposed to be on the receiving end of a dominating act. And therefore, it comes across as weird. And that's just culturally and societally in America, definitely how we feel. I'm sure other cultures do. You know, there are people that are north of that and south of that. But I think, honestly, you know, from the standpoint of this country, that's a big reason why it's such a no-no. So for me, obviously, I'm a guy. You know, if I were to find out any woman I'd ever been with or even now, you know, hey, did it happen? My only question would be is when, and if it's happened recently and you didn't tell me, I'm kicking your ass because you left me out of the fun. But, you know, if you say, hey, I did this back in high school or college, I'd be like, yeah, I figured you did. I almost expect it, to be honest. I just think it's different when it comes to men. And even if the guy was in prison, that's kind of a don't ask, don't tell. It's like, yeah, you were in prison. What happened there stays there. So it's a little bit of a caveat to that whole statement. But just in free society, I just don't think most people are willing to accept the fact that, you know, as the man, the alpha, the dominant, that you may have been in a position where you were not that, you know. So, I mean, what's your thought process on that?
Oh, I agree about the double standard. I mean, when men think of, or when anyone thinks of two women making out, then it's a hot, erotic fantasy, as you just said. But when you think of two men doing it, you know, you don't really view it the same way. But suffice to say, if I had a partner, which I don't, but if I did, and I found out that he experimented with same sex, my first question to him would be, is that your preference? Now, if he can answer me honestly, you know, yay or nay, you know, if he has to, but the thing is, that person has to be honest with themselves. And just because something isn't accepted doesn't mean that you can't live your truth. It may mean you're not ready to live your truth, or you are hesitant to live your truth, but at the end of the day, you still need to live your truth because it's not fair. And a good example of this would be this man who, and I think there was a show or something on about this, where this guy who was married to this woman for like over 30 years, and all of a sudden he decided he wanted to be a woman. You know, a good example was what happened with Caitlyn Jenner, but you know, to be with someone that long. Like, we're talking, like, they've invested years together. To find out that your husband wants to be a woman, that's got to be devastating for the woman. You know, how do you deal with that? You love this person. This has been your soulmate, so you thought.
Right.
And, you know, and then to find out that now, after all these years, they want to be a woman. You know, now that the kids are grown and, you know, this is supposed to be the time where you enjoy your retirement together. And all of a sudden, he wants to be a
woman. Well, you still can. You just go shopping at the same place. I mean, I think that's still slightly different. But, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. You know what? You seem like you're open enough to be like, hey, listen, if you want to live your truth, live your truth. Now, would you be able to still live and coexist with that person if that was a choice? Like, hey, I want to be a woman too. Can we be a blended family and have two women?
That would be a no, because I'm not a lesbian.
You ain't getting no dangus. But what if you could bring some dangus in the house and then she still lived there?
But it was a dude.
No, because number one, that would be awkward. Number one, you love this person. You can't turn love on and off like running water. You can't do it. And that's not
okay.
fair to the woman. Why should she have to be the one to compromise, be the one to, you know.
You can't love them anymore because they don't. So now you guys are both batting for the same team. You're telling me you couldn't love that person anymore just because the sexual aspect is gone?
No, okay. What I'm saying is that it would be hard to be living in the same house together, wanting that same relationship that you had before.
Sure. Gotcha.
To, you know, to get used to this new adjustment or this new transition.
Right.
I feel that it's not fair to the wife or the mate to have to go through that because you kind of feel betrayed in that situation.
I agree.
Because you were, you know, fooled for over 30 years.
That's a long time. I think, now I don't know how many people, and again, I don't know how many people have lived that life for that long. My thought would be that the woman would be more upset because if the guy chose to become a woman, so now it's two women, now he brings in somebody into the house, shit, that you might date yourself, and now you jealous because you, shit, he getting his back blown out by somebody you wouldn't mind getting your back blown out by.
but I don't even look at it like that. I think it would be too hard with the situation. I think it would be too hard for them to coexist in the same house under those circumstances.
Tough.
Because you still love that person as they were. You have to, one, adjust and get used to this whole transition of them wanting to be a woman. And sometimes that takes time. And you can't turn your love for someone on and off like running water in that intimate kind of love. So
Let me throw a curveball. Okay, so I see where you are, and again, I know you're a pretty open-minded person. You're like, hey, live and let live, so I see how we are. Now, let's do this to George, because, see, I think George is ready to answer the normal question, but I'm about to fuck with you. So I already know, G, you didn't had, you know, a couple at a time. George didn't had a couple of women at a time, so he understands the whole nature of, you know, girl-on-girl with him. But my question is, G, if your girl all of a sudden decided she wanted to be with a woman, but she wanted to stick around, but then there was no more sexual involvement. See, I'm gonna take that out of it because I know you'd be down for the cause like any guy technically would be, because there's no real competition when it comes to man and woman. She do what she does, I do what I do. But what if your woman said, I want to be with her, and now you and I can't be together physically, but I want us to be a package deal. I want her to move in. See, that's the curveball. Because, see, he thought he was going to get off easy.
Negative.
Like, nah,
nah. Negative. Negative.
Come on, brother. That's supposed to be love, my guy. You're supposed to have unconditional love, family.
Negative.
Yeah, you know what? Truth be told. No. Nah, yeah. Because that's just
negative.
How we are.
If I can't,
well,
you can't.
that part. ain't nobody
in fair play.
I'm just saying, if I can't, you can't.
Yeah, that would be tough. Yeah, we all gonna be up in here just taking cold showers together because ain't nobody getting nothing if I ain't.
Yeah, exactly.
That's real. Okay, so let me ask the guys here, you know, as men, because clearly with the ladies, it's easy to say, you know what, whether they were younger or older now, there's almost never going to be a time when we're like, oh, no, that's terribly unacceptable. Bullshit. But now for the guys, do you think how far back? Or if at all, George, how far back do you think something like that has to occur before you go, okay, I get it, it was a phase, I'm okay, or it was younger, whatever, or is there a period of time that it can go far enough back that you can be like, I get it, you know, and it is what it is, or you just like, nope, that's it?
I
If you do what you did, and that's where you are.
It's not a, it is what it is. It's a, it was what it was.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Whatever
so
you did
so
before me, whatever you did before me, as long as it wasn't have a sex change.
But okay, what if it was one of your boys or your son or your brother? What if that was the case?
What you mean? Hold on, I'm confused now.
I'm just switching it up because I already know kind of what you're thinking about when you're talking about the ladies. But if you found out that it was one of your boys, not it ain't got to be them coming at you, but you found out that it was one of your boys or your brother or your son, your cousin did that back in the day, whenever, last month, last year, 20 years ago, how would you feel?
If they confided in you.
Nothing else, just they confided in you and say, hey, dog, you know, that it was a one-time thing, but I'm cool now. You know, I'm with my wife or I'm with my girl. It's just, you know, just I wanted to know. Back
oh,
in
but
college,
they did
I
some.
Boom,
but
boom.
They did some shit. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shit. I mean, I would still be the same way. I mean, I'd be like, to each his own. I mean, that what you did,
yeah.
And that what you did. I mean, I got relatives that are gay.
We
you
all
know,
do. Look, everybody says got a cousin or an uncle named Peaches. So we all do. we all do. Anybody tell me don't the damn lie. So, yeah, same here, man. I don't care. I'm just curious because I know some cats are like, look, you did one time if you ever did, and they really, really get bent out of shape about it. And I think maybe because, again, I've been a bouncer at a drag club. I've met and had conversations with some pretty interesting people. And to hear people's story and things like that, if you are closed-minded and you meet and have an encounter with these individuals, if it doesn't change your mind, you're just black-hearted because there's always a story that comes along. But in a lot of times, their lives and stuff are A, fascinating, and B, heartbreaking. But you just find out just how real and human they are. You know, you don't know how many guys I met that have children, multiple, and decided, you know what, I'm going to change my name to Skittle Star and start dancing and drag. And then, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It's like that part of their life. So, man, that's why I'm glad, you know, my family learned acceptance generations ago. But it's curious, I mean, how I think people are becoming more open now because of so many different factors. But I couldn't imagine a lot of us thinking this 20, 30 years ago going, hell no, because we didn't know. We instantly thought, you know what, if you did that, that makes you this way right away. But again, my girlfriend in college had an uncle who was a champion bodybuilder. Went to prison. He sat down for about 15 years. Had a wife and everything in there. And when he got out, the other guy thought they were still going to be together, and, you know, homie was like, nah, I'm cool. I'm going to shoot right on back on over to the fuzzy stuff. It's like he did what he had to do to make it through his time. But you can't make somebody just be what they inherently aren't. And I'm not going to get into the we're born this way debate because I have thoughts on that as well. But the point that I'm proving is he did all that, got out of prison.
Right.
Started dating women again, and it was what it was. So that's what I meant by the exception. Like, when people get out, it's like, hey, look, you didn't dare to do that. Because, you know.
Right, right.
If I'm getting out, but it's going to be a long time, there's a real good chance my cellmate's going to have his nails done because I ain't going to be the woman. But that's why I'm not going. That's why I can't go. See? Oh, Lord. Even my internet knew I needed a timeout. Hey, I'm just throwing it like I see it. That's interesting. But yeah, I was just curious because so much of that comes into play nowadays with people kind of. Now that being said, I saw something. I'm going to have to share it with you guys later on. A buddy of mine sent it to me, was the whole pronoun thing. And there was a gentleman, and it just happened to be, I don't know what show it was. I'll let you guys know. But he was getting into the whole pronoun and the whole, you know, identify as and things like that. And I thought he had a really interesting take on it. Not saying that people can't be what they want to be, but just his take on it. I wish I had time to get it to you, George. Maybe we'll get back to it later on. But to paraphrase, he was basically saying, I'm not going to acknowledge all of these different changes to the English language to appease you and your group. He said, I don't have a problem with you being who you are, but I'm not going to do all that. And the point that he made was, you know what, if I said you had to identify me as handsome and magnificent every time you talked about me, he said, that would be goofy, wouldn't it? Because these people say, you know, call me them, call me they, call me she, call me whatever. And the point that he was making was, no, you don't get to make the rules. You don't get to change the rules because of the way you feel. And now you want to identify as something. He said, I can identify as a tree. I can identify as magnificent. I can identify as 7 feet tall. But that doesn't make it true. And so it was a very interesting point. Again, I have no dog in the fight as far as, you know, what you want to be or you know, act like. But he was, you know, it was pretty interesting the way that he really, I mean, he was
right.
he came harsh, but he drove that particular point home. So, like, back in the day, if you did something one time, it made you homosexual, lesbian, gay, and now it's not so much, it's not so concrete. You get to be poly, trans, tri, any damn thing you want to be, you know. Titles don't bother me so much. I don't give a shit. Do what you want to do. I feel like that, but I don't hide behind something. Don't hide behind a title. Don't hide behind a name, nomenclature, and things like that. Just do what you want to do and stand up and look at people and say, I did it. You know, that's my take on it. So here's to all of our uncle and cousin Peaches's. I love y'all. Love y'all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think CB selfish though. You ain't gonna let Cinnabons change his name, live in there with you. Y'all might both end up dating the same guy.
No.
Then what? You might learn something. You might learn something right there. What?
No.
You selfish ass.
All day. When it comes to that, yeah. Now, at some point, you know, we could be friends, you know, but as far as, you know, being in love and intimate, that is done.
Huh.
And being, you know, cohabitating in the same environment, that is done. You know.
You know what? I could do that. I could be friends like you said. You know why I could be friends? Because as long as I know you're not going to mess with another guy after me, we can be boys. We can be homies. That way I know, listen, I was the best and the worst. Whatever I did, you either figured I'm never going to do any better or that fool ruined me altogether. Either way, I'm fine. Because from a competition standpoint, I don't give a shit if she treats you like gold because she is not a he and she is not me. See, that, yeah, listen, that's where our egos come into play and go, you know what, all right, cool. You know what, do your thing. I can lie to myself all day long. I actually had it happen before in college, believe it or not. Swear to God. Actually had it happen. I was perfectly fine with it. And to plead my case, before y'all start dogging me, to hell with y'all, I was number one. Someone else was number two and then ruined it, and then she jumped teams. So and we ended up being cool after that. So just to get that out there, y'all can kiss my ass if y'all think I ruined it completely by myself. that's a whole long mess of a story, boy. Ooh. Springfield, I'm trying to tell y'all, boy, shit happened.
Well, because my thing is, you know, am I the kind of friend who would give you the shirt off my back? No, because probably you can't fit it. Am I the kind of friend who would be your biggest cheerleader? No, or am I the kind of friend who would answer the phone at 3 a.m. if you called in trouble? Yeah. I'll be in my car. I'll be there in 10, and I'll have my shovel in the trunk. Gotcha.
Even if y'all date the same guy?
How you going to have your trouble in the trunk?
Right.
Ready for
it? Listen, one of the greatest lessons my stepdad ever taught me was he was real blunt. It was kind of like a Yoda type shit. He said either be a real friend or don't. He was like, be a friend or don't fuck with him and let him know. So to my stepfather, I give all that credit because it was one of the, you know, one of those street lessons that you teach. And I'm like that to this day. I'm either rolling with you or I'm not. But here's the thing. I can tolerate, work with, or respect a lot of people. It doesn't mean we're friends. It doesn't mean I'm going to go all out for you. That circle is really small. But I know what he meant, and I've always practiced it. So I'm with you on that. And it doesn't matter, man, woman, or, you know, child. If I mm-hmm. say, you know, you're in that inner circle, then it's not a lot I wouldn't do for you. But that's why I keep that circle small, because I got to go home. And listen, what I'm not going to do is go to jail or go 6 feet under over bullshit. How about that?
Right.
So,
exactly.
So, yeah, it better be legit. But, no, nah, I'm with that. But, yeah, anybody that dated me needs to switch teams just so I can feel better. I said it.
Wow.
I know, right? Look, I told y'all the kind of week I've been having now. It's like I said, shit, my filter does not exist. So here we are.
Wow. But with that, we only have 3 minutes left, guys. So let's say our goodbyes.
Oh, jeez. I've been in the sun all day and I'm drinking moonshine. What's that tell you?
You're having a good time.
Absolutely.
What country are you in right now anyway?
Right. If I tell you, I gotta kill you. I can't let anybody know. Matter of fact, I should be using my pseudonym right now. I should take this off. Shit, I can't tell y'all who I am. I might have to use some damn knockout spray on y'all. Just know it's hot where I am. Just know, like I said, and it's a lot of desert where I am. And I ain't back at home.
I was like, wait a minute, you live in the desert. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm not in my familiar surroundings. But there's some good places out here to, get rid of some folk. Like I said, you know, y'all, Crystal, you got your shovel? Hey, I got the locale.
I got it.
You got a shovel in your shoe.
I got you.
So, yeah. Me and Ali. Yeah. Me and Ali.
You must be out there with Julio and Vasquez.
Boy, look, for real. I found myself getting trilingual today.
Wow.
Like that part. So, yeah, so it's all gravy. It's all gravy. Well, yeah, but,
hey,
you know.
George. Say goodbye.
George will say goodbye whenever he comes back from his siesta. Maybe change on the party, couldn't you?
I'm waiting for love, peace, and hair grease. Hello.
Listen, y'all already know my, you know, y'all know the deal. I'm out here in the sticks. I can't barely stay online. We barely got here.
You've been froze for the last 3 minutes.
That's what I said. Even my internet knew I needed a timeout. They're like, no, he got to go. He's
out of
order.
Peace, love, and hair grease.
All right.
I've been put on some.
Everyone, thank you so much for rocking out with us tonight. You've been listening to CB and the Boys. We come to you every Wednesday as your midweek motivator, offering you music, motivation, conversation, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So hopefully you have gotten all of that and then some tonight. And to take us home is a favorite that, of course, the guys hate, but I absolutely love. Here is the Ugly Song. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never miss a
Christmas. Hey, 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 hey. Woo. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life,
dude.